for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. Ravens were off yesterday. They'll be back on the field Sunday at home. 9.5-point favorites, according to ESPN Bet, against the Las Vegas Raiders, who lost, and we'll get into that later on in the program here, so stay tuned. But one of the highlights was Isaiah Likely touchdown, and we just talked about him and the versatility he brings to the equation as a pass receiver. Here's Lamar talking about Likely's TD and the little Fred Astaire at the end to get into the end zone.
It was a touchdown. Nothing happened. It didn't get called back or anything like that, because he made a spectacular run and catch. You know, he did his thing, and I like the step back at the end, you know, right before the touchdown. That was amazing, you know.
Like high school.
Yeah, that looked crazy. Now his was dope because it's an NFL. I was in high school.
Tell you what, Bob, I think like on that play, I think ESPN showed like on the screen or whatever that his chances of scoring when he caught it were like 0.03%. And he did. He made some phenomenal runs. And that's the thing that he can do. That's why you know, the difference between he and Andrews is that Likely has nifty feet and can make people move, and he can do those kind of things where Andrews going to run you over type thing. So I was impressed with Likely, and I think he's only going to get better. And when they go out to practice today, he's going to be feeling pretty good about himself.
Yeah, he did the little stop. Defender flies by, and he waltzes into the end zone. So that was actually a pretty impressive thing to watch.
And it's instinctual. You know, I mean, sure. It shows good football instincts.
Now, for Lamar Jackson, that play was great. And Lamar had all sorts of historic things going on in that Thursday night contest against Kansas City. But team-wide penalties seem to be an issue, right, Lamar?
I mean, it's very frustrating because we busting our behind out there. You know, we're trying to win the game at the end of the day. And we, it's just like every time we got a big play, it's like a flag down. It's like, God, we can't be having that, you know, but we're going to watch film and see if we can clean those things up, because I believe we got the best fan base in the NFL, and they want to see that. They want to see that from us, you know, with the guys we got, the new addition, Derrick Henry, you know, new offensive linemen and stuff like that, and they just want to see us do what we do.
7 for 64 penalty-wise there for the Raiders.
Yeah, and what, 5 of them were offensive line penalties. Like a lot of them were on that first drive. And then Bateman had, you know, the hold or PI, offensive PI. The penalties, yeah, that was a concern. To me, more so, they wouldn't be asking Lamar it, but I think the mental errors. I think there was way too many mental errors on both sides of the ball, but especially on the defensive side. A lot of mental errors.
The Ravens defense, well, they had their moments. I mean, they held Kansas City to field goals when things could have gotten out of control there in the first half. But Chiefs still had their level of success. John Harbaugh, after the game, was asked about his team's defensive performance.
Substitutions were an issue. That was probably the one big mistake we had. The rest of the way, I thought our defense played really well. I mean, you know, that's a heck of an offense out there. And our guys played so hard, fought against the run, I thought, did a good job against the run, covering their guys. You know, it's not easy with all the screens and all different things they do. And then you've got Mahomes, who extends. And I thought our D-line and our rushers did a good job of keeping them in there, especially in the second half. You know, so many good things happen. But there's going to be a lot of things to work on for sure. There's no doubt. And that would be one of them.
Yeah, and I think I thought, like he said, I thought the defensive line played well, and the rushers. I thought they played pretty well. But I mean, it kind of goes back to, like Harb said, the biggest issues were communication. And if you got communication issues, I mean, that's where the mental errors come in. And when you see players talking to other players after a big play or whatever, like, where were you? You know, I mean, to me, it's like, nah, this shouldn't be happening. So it was a little, and we go back to it. We talked about it earlier. I mean, when your two best players on defense play poorly, you're going to struggle. And we're talking about Hamilton and Roquan.
What did you think of the pass rush effort? Now that we've had a few days.
I thought Ajabo's rush was real nice. I thought they had some nice rushes, and Vannoy had a rush, but then he gets hurt. But and then besides Ajabo and Owe, they really, you know, with Van Oy out, they don't have anybody else that can really rush the passer. And it didn't, and you know what kind of surprised me too, Bob? I mean, one of their best rushers is Kyle Hamilton. And the year before in that game, he was coming, he was doing all, and in this one, he wasn't. So
yeah, he was quiet, as we've talked about.
Yeah, he was very quiet, and I don't know. I mean, you know, I was watching, you know, Denard Wilson's defense yesterday kicking ass. I was watching Mike McDonald's defense yesterday kicking ass. And even Anthony Weaver's guys. The worst defense yesterday was the Ravens' defense.
Uh-oh. But, yeah, I mean, it's first game for Zach Gore. And, you know, things will improve because I would assume Roquan Smith and Kyle Hamilton will play better as the season
goes. And I agree with you, Bob. I think Roquan needs to get in better shape.
I mean,
he does look, he looked a little heavy in that uniform.
I mean, looking like Bob Haney's good in some aspects, but with the beer belly, probably not so much. It's Vinny and Haney. I'm not saying he has a beer belly, but he looked a little girthier than we have seen in years gone by. Vinny and Haney, 105.7, the Fan. News from the desk, John Harbaugh. So you lost. What did you think of the game overall, though?
Played just a great football game, a courageous game. I made so many plays, especially down the stretch, play after play. I put Lamar, obviously, in the same category. All those guys. I mean, those guys were making plays and fighting. The offensive line, I thought, did a heck of a job out there. A lot of question marks that, you know, the pundits and the prognosticators had about the offensive line, saying that without offensive line, we couldn't do anything. And to see the way they went out there and played against that defense, I thought was pretty impressive. And that's a challenge, especially in this environment. Communication. And there were problems on both sides.
All right, so maybe we misjudged the performance of the O-line.
Yeah, he hadn't watched the film at that time. You know, now he has seen the film. I mean, like on that first, I mean, Lamar played his ass off. I thought Lamar played a hell of a game because, you know, he had, when he would drop back, if he saw a crease, he was taking off and going. He wasn't going to wait and sit back there because he knew he'd be scrambling around. The problem with the O-line is, and it takes five or six, you know, and they got to do it right all the time. And what happens is you get one busting down, like on the one pass play. Who screwed up? Falele lets his guy go. Then another time, then it's McCarron. Yeah, then it's all a different guy all the time. So that is the issue. You need five in unison working together, and it's like, okay, Falele did good that time, but nope, then it was McCarry's turn. It's always somebody's turn to screw up.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, hopefully we're not screwing up the dough. We're counting and having some fun on a Monday and talk about sports subjects of the day. Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer, will look at week one, what has been completed so far. Look ahead to tonight's game as the San Francisco 49ers host the New York Jets and Aaron Rodgers, who's a Bay Area guy.
He went to Cal.
Grew up around those parts. NFL Lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. American League East report at 1:15, and we'll talk Terps. Yeah, they lost with Jeff Ehrman from InsideMDSports.com. 2.5-point favorites are Maryland at Virginia, who won at Wake Forest. So much for game day coming to College Park, though.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Penny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday, talking NFL. Howard Balzer, bottom of the hour. Get to our picks for this weekend, college and pro. Then NFL Lunch, that American League East report. Cubs did the Orioles a solid because the Orioles certainly didn't help themselves over the weekend against Tampa. And then Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com, talk about Maryland's loss to Michigan State as 9.5-point favorites. Now going to Virginia on Saturday night, taking on the Cavs, who were 2-0 with a win at Wake Forest. We'll get it all at Adam Warber right now. It's Count That Dough by ourselves.
Well, the money that we lost on Friday, making it back today. The Dow's up 600. The S&P's up 64. NASDAQ is up 182. DraftKings up 94 cents. Under Armour's down 7 cents.
Oh.
As far as our sports topics, we're going to start in Major League Baseball, where the Astros, well, they certainly had to deal with a ton of injuries throughout the season, But it appears they're starting to get healthy at the right time. Over the weekend, Kyle Tucker made his long-awaited return to the lineup after missing multiple months with a shin fracture. The power that he provides for that lineup, it really can't be understated. Earlier this year, before the injury, 19 homers in 60 games. That was a crazy pace that probably would have had him leading the team had he not been injured. But even with the absence, tied for third on the team in home run production right now. Buy or sell, Bob, Tucker will lead the Astros in homers between now and the end of the season.
I'll go ahead and buy that. I mean, it was a wrist injury, right?
I thought it was a shin.
Shin, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm thinking about the Orioles' problems there. Shin, he was on his way to start the All-Star game, if I'm not mistaken. So, yes, I'll buy that. Kyle Tucker, Houston, Houston might be posing a problem for the rest of the American League in the final 3 weeks of the season.
Over to the NFL, Packers fans, they went through a roller coaster of emotions during Friday night's loss to the Eagles. The injury to Jordan Love appeared to be potentially season-ending at the moment, but initial tests showed that it was just a sprained MCL that will only keep him out a handful of weeks. The timeline that we've received, 3 to 6 weeks, with optimism that it will be on the shorter side of that. But behind Love, we saw Malik Willis was tabbed to come in for the final play, and Sean Clifford is on the practice squad, not the most inspiring backup options there. There's been mixed reports about them pursuing a free agent like Ryan Tannehill, although the latest from Tom Pelissero says that they're going to stand pat with who they have. Buy or sell, Vinny, if it is just a few games, the Packers will be able to survive with what they have.
Survive with what they have. If it's, well, it's going to be probably a minimum of 3 games at least. They're already 0-1. Can they survive? What's your definition of survival? You know, is it winning?
Not losing. I mean,
you don't want to be 0-4. That sort
right.
of thing.
I mean, how about 1-3?
They've got the Colts at home, at Tennessee, Minnesota at home, Rams next 4 games.
Okay, I'll say they'll be able to survive a little bit. They'll get at least one.
Go back to baseball here. Jose Ramirez remains an underrated presence in Major League Baseball, despite a track record of really almost a decade of consistency at this point for Cleveland. And maybe this year more than ever, he is deserving of that underrated label, as the Guardians have been one of the American League's best behind his 34 homers, 106 RBIs. He's also on pace for a potential 40-40 season. Just like Shohei Ohtani, he's already surpassed that mark. He would be the 7th all-time to accomplish it, but unlike Ohtani, he is not the odds-on favorite to win MVP. Of course, Aaron Judge deserving of that label or that kind of honor right now, but you might be surprised to hear that Ramirez's odds to win American League MVP are actually 5th best amongst all your candidates in the American League. Buy or sell, Bob, Ramirez will join the 40-40 club and still not finish top 3 in MVP votes.
I will buy that because it's going to be Judge, Soto, Bobby Witt for your MVPs with Gunner and Ramirez. Well, Gunner's probably favorite. Is Gunner the 4th, by the way?
He is ahead.
Okay, yeah. So those are your 5, as we've talked about. Even though Judge has kind of cooled off a little bit, and when he cools off, the Yankees as a team tend to hit the skids offensively. But he's a great player. Doesn't look like a 40-40 guy. That's why you can't make assumptions based on physical appearance. And he looks like a guy that should be sitting with me at the corner of a bar, sitting watching baseball on television, not doing 40-40 stuff. But yes, he will finish on the outside looking in. So I'm buying.
And I do wonder now, with the 40-40 has been one of the most elusive stats to reach in Major League Baseball history. But just last year, Ronald Acuna did it. You got 2 guys that could do it this year. Again, that would be 7 all-time, 3 in the span of 2 years. Is it almost not devalued, but with the new rules for stolen bases, is this something that we're going to start seeing more and more, 40-40 season?
Possibly, but Shohei, he's about to do 50-50. By the way, got the first 40-40 ever in the history of baseball?
Canseco?
Yes, it was, 1988.
Lucky guess. All right.
He was a big dude, too.
Yeah. Shohei.
We'll close with this in college football. Nebraska, they manhandled Colorado on Saturday night, and it really all started up front. Shedeur Sanders running for his life. He was sacked six times by the Cornhuskers. And O-line, it was a huge point of emphasis for the Buffaloes in the offseason. They completely overhauled the line with more than enough transfers, but yet again, they're under the microscope, and the road ahead for Deion's crew, it doesn't get much easier. Five matchups against ranked opponents as it stands now. Buy or sell, Vinny, Colorado will finish below 500 yet again this year.
I'm going to buy it. I'm going to buy it. I mean, their defense is not great either. And the O-line, the only thing I don't like is everybody's blaming the O-line. I mean, you're calling them out. Deion called them out, and Shedeur called them out.
Certainly not their fault.
That's what they do.
Oh, Hunter, he was pouting over there.
It's always someone else.
What did you think of Raiola, though? Dylan Raiola, Pat Mahomes 2.0.
I think he's going to be all right, Bob. I think he's going to be really good.
Oh, he's going to be a first round. Yeah. He's like Trevor Lawrence was when he was a freshman at Clemson. Nebraska's not as good as Clemson was at that time. But I will make this proclamation. Nebraska will be playing for a national championship before Colorado does.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. And Raiola was committed to Georgia. He'd have been redshirting this year probably at Georgia if he'd have went to Georgia.
But his old man went to Nebraska, right?
Oh, he played center there, yeah.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk some NFL. Dominic Raiola. We got Howard Balzer. He remembers Dominic Raiola. He's going to talk about week one. We'll preview tonight's game. All right, we're going to a break because I'm out of here. This past Saturday, but here to talk about week one of the NFL season and the intrigue that has been involved with it, longtime NFL writer, friend of the show. Let's welcome back Howard Balzer. Howard, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
Feeling pretty good. Feeling pretty good. Hope you guys are also, even though it didn't go so well for the local team, but still good to have football back and watch meaningful games.
Well, with the Cardinals, since you've been covering them for a few years now, they're in Buffalo taking on the Bills. Very entertaining game. One of the best games of Sunday slate. But Marvin Harrison Jr., his production was rather limited. What did Buffalo do defensively to keep him out of the festivities? Because everyone thinks, Howard, as you know, that this kid's going to be a star for many years to come here.
Yeah, you know, no doubt. And it was interesting because after the game, Jonathan Gannon, the head coach, said that he saw some cloud there, which was, of course, extra coverage. You know, they were trying to take him away. And then when Kyler Murray was asked about it later, after that, he said, well, I don't know that he was getting extra coverage. He just said, I was going to the people that I was supposed to go with on my reads. And so, yeah, it was a tough beginning. There was a miscommunication with Murray early in the game when Murray was trying to do a back shoulder throw at the sideline, and Harrison didn't realize that. Then he had a drop, and his one catch of the game came in the second quarter, and he was never targeted again in the game. So, like you said, you know it's going to come. They had some issues getting the ball to wide receivers. Greg Dortch had a nice game, but Michael Wilson, their other main wide receiver, he also had only one catch. They were throwing a lot to the running backs and the tight ends, and seems that, you know, that was potentially the game plan. And I think, you know, when you look at these games, especially on the road in a very tough environment and a windy day in Buffalo and a team that's playing with 17 guys that were rookies either last year or this year, and you're going to have some growing pains. And I don't think there's any doubt about it, but they played the Bills tough. And, you know, one score game. So now we'll see where it goes from here. But as we all know, guys, there's a lot of close games in the NFL, a lot of one score games. I think there have been 10 already in this week before tonight's game with the Jets and the 49ers. So, but the teams that end up with good records are the teams that find a way to win those close games. And that's one thing that the Cardinals haven't proven they can do consistently at this point.
Hey, Howard, when you were watching the game Thursday night, what did you think of, you know, the officials trying to, set a tone for the year about the formations?
It's interesting because I didn't realize that, and I don't know that many people did. I mean, the teams realized it, that the NFL had told the officials this should be a point of emphasis. But I've railed about that for years, guys. you know, you watch games on TV and the camera's right there in the line and you see these offensive linemen lined up a yard and a half, sometimes 2 yards behind the ball, and it never gets called. The other thing, though, that doesn't get called are a lot of times is players lining up in the neutral zone. And a lot of times the offensive linemen adjust for that because the guy's there with his helmet sometimes touching the line of scrimmage and his hand on the line, and they don't call that. So in my mind, if you're going to call that, do it consistently and make sure you call those what some would call a little petty neutral zone violations. And if you do it consistently, then you get guys to stop it. But when you have players out there, you never know when it's going to be called or if it will be. It's just, you know, it just creates more confusion for all the players and the coaches.
Hey, Howard, I guess rookie quarterbacks learned a lot their first game.
They sure did. And no doubt about it. No surprise there. As we know, most of the time when quarterbacks are drafted high, it's because their teams weren't very good the year before. And so it was interesting the way the Bears were able to win the game. And Caleb Williams was not only average, I mean, he was below average in that game. And the Bears won because of just a bonehead pass by Will Levis and also a blocked punt that resulted in a touchdown. So that's why the Bears won the game. It didn't have much to do with what Caleb Williams did, but that's what's going to happen with those rookies when you put them out there to start the season. And it's interesting because there's nothing that compares to regular season football in all the preparation in the NFL. OTAs, mini camp, training camp, preseason games, none of that even comes close. And I think when you have younger players especially and those quarterbacks, man, it hits them, it hits them like a punch in the face when they realize what the regular season is like. But I think those guys will be fine in the long run. You hope for their sake they are. And if they're not for those teams, then they're probably going to be looking for a new quarterback and a new coach and maybe GM in 2 or 3 years.
Hey, Howard, who is worse, the Giants or Carolina?
Oh, I think Carolina is just brutal. And then it looks like they've now lost Derek Brown, who's probably definitely their best defensive player, maybe their best offensive player also. He's going to be out for a bit, maybe longer, with a knee injury. That's just a brutal football team. And here, everyone's coming down on Bryce Young, and it's the quarterbacks always get that focus on them. But I don't know that there's any quarterback could go in there with that roster and that team and be successful. You have to have players around you if you're going to be a successful quarterback. And even sometimes when you do have those players around you, there are certainly at times going to be struggles. So, yeah, but I would say the Panthers are worse. We'll see what happens, with the Giants in the long run. But, man, a lot of questions with that team that everybody was hailing Brian Daboll as the next great coach in the NFL when they won a lot of close games 2 seasons ago and got in the postseason. And since then, obviously, it hasn't been so good. It hasn't been very good.
Hey, Howard, your impression of Deshaun Watson?
Another guy that you just wonder, is it ever going to be the same for him as it was in Houston? Did he derail his own career, not only with all the off-the-field nonsense, but then also just looking to get out of there, which preceded all that stuff that happened when he just didn't want to be in the organization before, and he just can't find his footing, not playing very good football. A lot of pressure, obviously, is on him because of the contract, but, hey, all these quarterbacks have pressure because of the money they're making. So you really wonder. I mean, I would say you really wonder if he continues on this path and still with a bunch of guaranteed money left on that contract, what do the Browns do about that? Obviously, we got a lot of time left in this season for it to correct itself, but many are wondering if he'll be able to.
Howard Balzer, longtime NFL writer, Vidian Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Last thing, Howard, San Francisco, they host the Jets. Aaron Rodgers is back, so all is right with the world, but all is going to be right with the Jets world. I guess a lot of intrigue as to whether or not he can still play at a very high level, Aaron Rodgers there.
And a lot of intrigue to see how long he's going to last.
Right.
And certainly for his sake and the team, you hope it's more than a lot more than 4 snaps. That's a team that's pretty darn good on offense and should be a pretty good team if Rodgers is even anywhere close to what he used to be. And they'll be tested tonight, obviously, by a very good 49ers defense. And we'll see how that San Francisco offense is when they just got Trent Williams at left tackle and Brandon Ayuk at wide receiver back after missing all of training camp, essentially, in contract situation. So how will that offense play with a Christian McCaffrey that's also a little banged up? And we saw the 49ers last year when they didn't have Williams for a few games, when they didn't have Debo Samuel for a few games, and McCaffrey was playing injured. They weren't the same team. So it's going to be interesting to see coming out of the box in game one how they play against a very good defense tonight.
Howard Balzer, tell everybody where we're reading you and listening to you as well.
CardsWire.usatoday.com. If you have any interest in the Cardinals, Kyler Murray or whatever, all the things going on there, you can go there and find my info, and I'll pop up like this show many different places on the radio. So that's a good place to find me.
Howard Balzer, always appreciate your time. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good, guys. Take care.
There he is, Howard Balzer, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, get to the pig segment, talking about how we did over the weekend. Nolan reminded me of a text he sent prior to the Ravens-Chiefs game. Mm-hmm. Look at this guy.
Yeah.
Maybe what do they call it? Subconsciously ignored it. I don't know, but we'll elaborate. We got NFL lunch coming up. We'll take your phone calls at 410-583-1057. American League East Report, 115. Orioles got a favor from the Cubs because the Orioles aren't doing themselves any favors offensively. And then Maryland at home is 9-point favorites, 9.5 against Michigan State. Well, let's just say they didn't cover the spread. Jeff Ehrman, 130.
You can pick your friends.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. You can pick your nose.
But there was no pig. There was no pig.
But only Vinny and Haney can pick games. Football Pick'em. 105.7 The Fan.
All right, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Monday. First week of the season almost in the books for the NFL. Tonight, we got San Francisco hosting the Jets. College football's 2 weeks in. So that means our picks have started. Nolan McGraw, you were not here last week, but you did send me a text that you reminded me of that not only did, because Vinny and I took the Ravens, Ben Hall, who was in for you that day, he took Kansas City. And not only did Nolan take the Chiefs, Vinny, he picked the score on the nose, 27-20. Right. Now, Nostradamus over there.
I appreciate you admitting the mistake, because I was ready to come in here and raise hell.
Oh, boy.
I went back and listened to your guys' segment on Friday because I wanted to write down the picks, have everything ready to go for today. And I heard you say, well, I guess Nolan was too good to send in a pick.
You.
And I was like, what's he talking about? I was ready to come in here guns blazing.
Yeah,
so.
I tell you what, you raising hell, I'm kind of scared about what that would look like. But I got a phone number from Nolan, and all I did, full disclosure, I just got the number and kind of proceeded on with my day. Didn't even read the rest of the text. Sorry about that. And in the text, it actually had his pick and the score. So Nolan got that one right, but let's get into it. It's for booze, wine for Vinny, beer for me and you, Mick Ultra here, and Yinglings for Nolan over there. So the college games of the day. So let's just say, because I was 5-0 in college last week. Does that still count?
Yeah, college week zero, these are the standings coming into this week. Bob, you are perfect, 5-0.
Thank you.
Vinny, 3-2. I was 2-3.
Yeah, well, I was the exact opposite of that this week, and let's get into it. College games, Nolan.
Maryland, Michigan State, we were all optimistic that Maryland was going to build steam here, take that next step, but not to be. Not to be. A close loss in College Park.
27-24, we all took Maryland, but, and we'll talk about it with Jeff Ehrman at 1:30. They're going in to look like to seal the deal, and then Edwards threw the pick, and then they go with the 77-yard bomb, and then they just couldn't get Michigan State off the field on that last drive.
Well, and then, the special teams was a killer right before the half, the 50-yard field goal, because he missed a 55. They were offsides. And then the defense, Bob, they made a quarterback that sucked the week before look like Pro Bowl.
Yeah, unsucky. So there you go. Texas and Michigan, I guess we got going on.
Right. We were all in unison on this one, picking Texas. Great work for them in the big house there. Quinn Ewers, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, and we said Friday, too, that this could be the puffy pants and hammer time if you're new to the show, and that's what it was.
Let's see here. Iowa State, Iowa. Vinny and myself were with the Cyclones. Bob, you took Iowa in that one.
And it needed a 54-yarder
at the buzzer to win it.
Yeah. So the Hawkeyes, after putting up millions of points the week before, played Iowa offensive football. But a big win for the Cyclones on the road.
Colorado and Nebraska, a unison pick for all of us taking the Cornhuskers here.
Oh, that was over after two drives.
Right. And I'll say this. I'll give Colorado's defense credit because that could have been way uglier than it was. And I know the officiating wasn't great in that game. But Nebraska, if they would have put a couple drives together, this thing would have been a complete demolition. But Huskers get the win.
Over to the NFL, Packers versus Eagles, a thrilling game. Really, the NFL kind of 3-for-3 in their primetime game so far. Bob and Vinny had the Packers. I had the Eagles in this one.
That kid Reed had a monster game for Green Bay. The receiver, he had over 100 yards, ran for a TD as well. A.J. Brown did A.J. Brown stuff. But yep. Saquon Barkley, but Jordan Love's injury, however long it might be, that could be the story of the Packers.
Yeah, it was a double loss for the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Love injury, like right at second to last play of the game. Yeah, that's a killer for you.
Steelers versus Falcons. We all had the Falcons here. High hopes for that offense this year, looking a little flat in week one.
That Pittsburgh defense, I give Pittsburgh defense credit. They looked phenomenal, especially Watt. I mean, he looked fast and quick as hell.
Yeah, Deshaun Elliott's a starting safety for these guys now.
And Patrick Queen had two tackles.
But old Kirk Cousins. So much for Bijan Robinson setting all sorts of records here, et cetera, et cetera.
Cardinals versus Bills. We all picked the Bills, but early on, that was all Arizona. Kyler Murray, his return in full, looking pretty good. Maybe a guy that we were quick to forget.
Yeah, you know what? I was watching some of that. It reminded me of the Penn State game because Penn State was getting spanked at the halftime, too. Then they came back and won it, kind of like the Bills kind of got their crap together. That was a hell of a football game.
Josh Allen, Buffalo. Two touchdowns rushing, and he threw two, but he hurt his hand on one of the TDs.
Left hand.
To be determined. They've got the Dolphins on Thursday night, by the way.
Titans versus Bills. We were, Bears, rather. We were all buying into the Chicago hype with Caleb Williams, but far from a great first impression for him. They still win, though. Titans were
defense and special teams won it for the Bears. I mean, because they had no momentum. They were done. And then they get, a couple of the turnovers. They get the block punt, gets a crowd, gets the team excited. Then, boom, all of a sudden, Levis says, let me give you a present. And then it's crazy time in Chicago.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, continue with the picks during the NFL lunch portion of the show. We've got the American League East report coming up at 1:15. Eighteen games left in the regular season. Seems like the Orioles haven't scored in eight games. They'll try to remedy that tonight at Fenway against the Red Sox. And then coming up at 1:30, Jeff Ehrman, InsideMDSports.com. Bad news on the football field, but great news for Kevin Willard recruiting-wise.